You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come to feel what you need when what you really want inside can't. Are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God. For all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you can get over that hump. Hump day, huh? Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping to, the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not and it has to get done, it must get done. It will get done because you will get it done. Ashe. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Monday and Wednesdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. On Thursdays from 8 to 10 p.m., from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. On Fridays, if it's 8 p.m. and it's Friday, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Sunday at 5 p.m., from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., Pinckney to Pinckney, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney of Benton Harbor, Michigan. And then Sunday at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. All right. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. February 18th. What is a zombie? A zombie is a corpse reactivated by secret means from the grave. They can walk, live, and serve others, but still is dead. Kwamana Ashanti. Zombies take their vanquishment and belief in the sacredness of white supremacy to heart. They embrace an absolute denial of any African origin or connection, insist on being amalgamated into what they consider to be a superior physical and mental type, work toward their rapid and complete assimilation of European way and belief that they deserve no more than the conditional subintegration into European cultural and society. They will accept whatever piece of whiteness they can get because they are not their African selves. Zombies methodically search for ways to distance themselves from all that is African, especially Africans who are not working with them toward white acceptance. Mindlessness makes them frigid creatures, doing all in their power to distance themselves from anyone who would get in the Europeans' march toward global domination. They would never think to question or interfere
with those who own them. As they distance themselves from us, we must distance ourselves from them. We are not proselytizers, nor do we seek to be proselytized. Affirm, I am a living being with a living conscious mind that only I control. Ashe. Affirm, I am a living being with a living conscious mind that only I control. February 19th. What's eating you? Dr. Layla Africa. For warriors, in terms of health, performance, endurance, vision, and life, it always comes down to the questions, what are you eating? Which is the flip side of the question, what's eating you? A body cannot operate efficiently, carrying dead weight. This applies to individuals as well as an army, a people, or an organism. Dead weight inhibits performance by draining energy. To attend to this destructive, dysfunctional needs that otherwise could be put to better use by the unencumbered body, it restricts warriors physical, mental, and spiritually. Agility requires exercise and strength beyond the average. Thought clouded by layers of saturated doubt can never express your best. And you cannot open your first eye to divinity bogged down with waste. Warriors especially cannot afford to carry dead weight or any other toxicity in their temples. We must be highly mobile, always ready and prepared to move, always moving, never in a stupor or high on chemicals, illegal or otherwise, that paralyze our actions or reactions. What we ingest should be the medicine food was meant to be. As the multi-genius Imhotep taught, let your food be your medicine and let your medicine be your food. We must always be clear and clean, holistically fine-tuned for building and battle. Affirm, I am healthy. Affirm, I am healthy. Ashe. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. We have a guest today, brothers and sisters, and I'm always honored and happy to have this brother share the mic with me and get his perspectives. In fact, he sent me a little piece that I'm going to play, but first I need to introduce this man. Or reintroduce, because he's been on here for years. In fact, he had a program for a minute. Wish he could be back with us, Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People's Matrix, Brother Jones. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. It's always an honor to be a humble guest on your program. I thank you for having me again.
Oh man, always a pleasure to have you here with me, man, to talk about the African mind. And how messed up it is.
Our greatest problem is that there's a war being waged against us, and most of our people don't understand that there's a war being waged against us. Our minds have been socialized to think in ways that benefits the white society, and that is to believe there's no war.
Right.
You know, for example, these programs, for example, that are called all programs that have the label of Black Liberation theme on them, we don't recognize what's happening. But periodically, there are agents who listen in on our program. They do so under the narrative that they're measuring Black dissent. And what they do is, if our knowledge, if what we're putting out, they deem as a threat, they appoint a threat level to our programming. If our programming is high, they remove the programming. If it's in the middle, they will interfere with the programming. Now, often when they come on these programming that are themed Black liberation, normally they don't assign a high level threat to it, because most of our information is not liberating information. Many of our information that we get on these programs are just distraction, crazy talking points, because they fed so much disinformation into our communities We get on these platforms and we make noise rather than speaking, liberating information. But we must, the goal for these programs when I come out is to elevate above the noise and to understand, to start providing liberating information. True liberating information, not disinformation, not propaganda, but the liberation that elevates our minds. I mean, if you look at our problem, our greatest problem is that the ignorant ones are ignorant of their own ignorance. And the ones who are intelligent, they no longer yearn for Black liberation. They now only yearn for a comfortable position within the system of white supremacy. This scenario has created a generation of Black people who are stagnant in terms of our liberation. And we no longer have true leaders. We have puppets who work for the white establishment. So the goal here is to produce and present information that liberates the mind, gives our people a clear and concise understanding of our true plight and condition, the truth that sets our minds free.
And that's what we need. That's the model of this program. You know, we talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. The model of the program is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. And the only way that you can come to those entities is through a liberated mind.
Yeah.
You know, it's the only way that you can get there. You know, you have to be very cognizant of the fact that what has happened to us, and you do all in your power to resist it, because you're bombarded 24/7, 365 of information or disinformation, as you say, disinformation of who you are and who you are not, you know, and of course, if that continues and you don't resist it or you don't feed yourself the right information, the historical information, that's why the program I did the other day was the importance of African history, and I call it, this is African and American African History Month. That's how I've always labeled it for years now, because the information that you should get this month should be liberating information that makes you think, that helps your mind, that motivates, inspires, and guides you. That's the information. Just to talk about somebody who did something some years ago, you know, I've been there's a one piece that talks about East Day, a piece of American African history. But most of the people they've talked about have influenced our people through the unions, sit-ins, so forth and so on. There's not a bit of information, not one piece of it, that goes before our captivity, that goes before, you know, it just after our captivity, after enslavement ended, the struggle for civil rights, the struggle for human rights, you know, and that's important, no doubt. I'm not diminishing it. But what I'm saying is we were a solid people prior to that, you know, long before that. Our history goes back thousands of years, you know.
It's by design that they're doing that. It's a part of what's called socialized. We have been socialized to think in ways that benefit to protect the system of white supremacy. Our collective state is by design. Mm-hmm. It starts during our early education development. Within our schools, we are not taught to critically think. We are being told what to think.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, they tell us, and we grow up, and we receive information from them, and we're not analytical about it. We just accept it. So we walk around without thinking for ourselves. It's also called thinking without thinking. For example, you know how often we hear Black people making negative generalizations about our people? But these Black people are clueless of the fact that they cannot confirm any of their negative generalizations. They get that from the white society. The white society controls our narrative, controls our media images, and they tell us what to think.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep us thinking in ways that benefit the white society. They literally shifted Black collective aggressions away from the white society and redirected against ourselves. For example, millions of African Americans say Africans don't like us. They say that because the only image they know of Africa is what the white man shows up. No African American can confirm that, but they've heard that propaganda and they repeat it. Or the other one, you know, Black folks don't like to read. You know, every Black person who says that, I know, is an idiot. because no black person can confirm that. He knows that based upon propaganda he has read. If it was true, how did the Johnson Publication Company become a multi-million dollar company?
Well,
by selling books.
Well, we like to look at the pictures.
Our people respond to the information that we receive from the white society. The white society are the programmers of everything we believe.
Right.
That's why millions of black people now says, you know, most Africans were sold away. We learn it because we're thinking. When the oppressed thinks in ways exactly as the oppressors want them to think, it's always by deliberate design. And we've not been conditioned to be critical thinkers. We've been conditioned to take the information they give us, and we see it as ours. They've been programming our minds for so many years that we now normalize it. If you're a critical thinker, you will see the BS around us. We, for example, the fact that our people are walking around thinking it's normal to call themselves by the N-word, it's normal to call a woman by the D-word. This is not our culture. When you understand the social science of what's being done to us, you realize that those who write the people's narratives and control their media images control their culture. The white society writes all of black people's narratives. Every national narrative that black women believe are black men that are negative came from white men.
That's right.
Every narrative that black men believe are white women that black women that are negative came from white men also. They control our interpretation of ourselves. And they also feed a lot of disinformation propaganda into our community. Now, our condition is not directly connected to slavery. Because After slavery, African Americans, look at the 1960s. We developed a love for Africa. We were proud of our African heritage. You started wearing Afros. You have some African names. And we knew that white oppressive forces was our worst enemy. Now, today, many of us are denying our African identity. We're calling ourselves by the N-word, and we believe we're our worst enemy. Now, it's to understand our plight and conditions to look at what happened between 1968 and today. What we are under right now, we are under a system that was deployed against us in response to the 1968 unprecedented black protest. Social science has studied us, and they determined that the African-American culture had to be fundamentally changed from what it was during 1960. And they changed it by deploying what's called an ideological subversion system against us. An ideological subversion system is a propaganda campaign that used disinformation. You feed disinformation towards a targeted population to get them thinking and behaving in ways that are against their own interests. We are within that system. And until we recognize this system and develop ways to overcome it, they're going to continue using it. The plan is to use it on our future generations. We have to, and the reason why it's so complicated to get people to understand this, because they've dumbed down our minds to their monopoly of information. And so therefore, and they've removed our true leaders. We no longer have true leaders. The so-called black leaders in America have 501c3 nonprofit status. If they embark in endeavors that truly liberates black people, they risk losing their 501c tax exemption. So the government controls them. The government tells them what type of issue to deal with. We're in a system that most of us don't understand. And we get on here and we're talking about Willie Lynch. We're our worst enemies. We're talking about Stockholm. We are not suffering from Stockholm Syndrome. Stockholm Syndrome is a system where the captors captive develop an allegiance towards their captors. That's a natural occurrence that sometimes happens. Our mental state, although it looks like Stockholm Syndrome, is a deliberate system that's systematically designed to happen.
You know, that reminds me of when you say, every time I've heard you say the Stockholm Syndrome, or even I read about it, right away puts my mind into Patty Hearst when she was kidnapped by the Symbionese Liberation Army. You know,
which was kidnapped. Which is a natural occurrence. Ours is not natural.
And then you see her helping them rob a bank with an AK-47 in her hand, you know. But, of course, once they found out and then she got released, she was deprogrammed, I guess, and back into the billion-dollar Hearst family, you know. But, yeah, that's what reminds me.
Our condition is directly connected to our oppressive monopoly over information that is fed into our minds. Directly, that's the core.
Right.
You know, and until we recognize it, because we don't know what's happening to us. And because we don't know what's happening to us, we participate in our own demise. Give an example. Every day, black viewers. We take our children to white schools. Mm-hmm. And we're smiling. All we care about is report cards. You got an A? I'm happy for you. We have black principals, black teachers who participate in the demise of our people. Why? Because most don't understand the system of oppression that's being used against us. But during our education development, we are being conditioned to perceive ourselves through an inherent subordinate identity that aids the white society maintaining a social dominance over us. It's by deliberate design that we are taught we come from slaves, but we're never taught the greatness of Africa. We are, they describe it as instilling a value system into our minds that serves the system of white supremacy. We are made to believe that slavery benefited us because we were nothing in Africa, and we should feel indebted to the white society for having invaded Africa because we feel we benefited from it. And because they instill that feelings within us, millions of us refuse to demand the reparations we're still owed because we feel indebted to the white society for enslaving us.
That's crazy.
They have conditioned our minds to think in ways that are against our own interests and that benefits the white society. And our people are clueless of what's being done to us because it's being done gradual. It's a social science. And the fact, remember when the FBI director, J. Edgar Hoover, said, the only way there'll be another black messiah if we create one.
We're going to create one. Exactly.
That's implemented. They made sure that we no longer have another black messiah. A lot of people believe that Malcolm X and Dr. King was anomalies. Oh, we'll never have another one of those again. But no, it's by design. The white oppressors studied the African-American population, and they determined that it was by giving those types of black men national platforms, media platforms, that their popularity and followers grew. So now, true black liberating people who speak true liberation, we are denied a national platform.
Right. No, you don't get a platform.
Like Candace Owens, they give them national platforms.
Mm-hmm.
The system of white supremacy is now a well-oiled machine because they now use social sciences. Social sciences is the branch of science devoted to how societies run, how you control the minds of the masses.
Mm-hmm.
The ruling elite developed this system for controlling the minds of the masses.
And see what you said about the '60s. What happened is that we were fed the illusion of inclusion. In the 60s, when we were talking about brotherhood and sisterhood and wearing our hair naturally, some of us wearing African clothes, many of us changing our names and so forth, you know, they fought that out and gave us the illusion of inclusion, the affirmative action programs, you know. But
you know, my mother told me that exactly after Dr. King was killed.
Mm-hmm.
She said, she's all of a sudden on TV, she kept seeing these black TV commercials. They started putting more black people on TV commercials, started doing more black shows, creating the illusion that we were included into the white society.
Mm-hmm.
Then they created propaganda to manipulate to believe that we're our worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's why we're so bombarded with the propaganda to believe we're our worst enemies. And we're made to believe that we're our worst enemies and we therefore need whites to govern over our lives.
Yeah,
Many of our people don't understand propaganda.
Yeah, you know, I hate that phrase, we're our own worst enemies.
Those who say, when people say that, I know they're not critical thinkers. I know that they're mentally enslaved. And you know what's so funny? The way the programming is, it's not funny. Those who say the most ridiculous, dumbest shit think they're the smartest ones in the room. When they say, oh, we're our worst enemy, he always thinks he's the smartest one in the room. When he says, oh, it's Willie Lynch, he thinks he's the smartest one in the room. And I'm sitting listening to this idiot, and I'm like, wow. No. Mm-hmm. White oppressive forces are still our worst enemy. And no, we did not make the N-word R. That's a propaganda campaign. The white oppressive is spreading to our communities. And those who are ignorant took it and ran with it.
Yeah.
Our culture is turned upside down because there's no one speaking out against the social sciences that are being deployed against us. And here's another the way the system is designed. Those who are educated in social sciences, who are aware of social sciences, they have their nice jobs, they have their education, and they don't want to rock the boat. Mm-hmm. All they want is a comfortable position within the system of white supremacy, so they say nothing.
Yep.
So there's no voice, there's no one speaking out. There's the ignorant ones, and then there are the smart ones, but no one speaking out. Our culture has been gradually turned into what it is now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For example, do you know in America right now, there are millions of African-Americans who hate the N-word, detest the N-word, mm-hmm. never use the N-word, but they're not given a voice.
I'm one of them.
They're not given a voice
in
the media. it created the norm that we all says it. Mm-hmm. And it became normalized in our culture. You see, through their monopoly over our narrative, I mean, they're able to negatively steer our culture.
Yep, I'm one of them.
Our culture. Until we understand this social science, we're going to still, we're just talking heads. We're just making noise.
Well, listen, I'm going to play what you sent me to help in this conversation. It's an outstanding piece. And if anybody wants it, I can forward it to them. All right.
Okay.
This is Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People's Matrix.
A speaker of truth has no friends, African proverb. Nowadays, millions of our people walks around daily with computers in their pockets, but access to unlimited verifiable information literally at their fingertips. Yet insisting on believing in myths that insults our own intelligence and believing in lies that were indoctrinated into the minds of our enslaved ancestors, lies that were then ignorantly passed down to us. We must stop misdiagnosing our collective condition, because if our diagnoses are flawed, then all of our remedies and liberating strategies that stem from those misdiagnoses will also be flawed. We currently have millions of us that are insisting that we are the true Jews found within a Bible that was in fact written by our most ungodliest enemies and that was brutally beaten into the blood-soaked minds of our enslaved ancestors. Moreover, they believe that the Messiah found within that book will be returning to save us. You notice just how crazy that sounds when you say it out loud? Yet millions believe that is true. We also currently have groups that are insisting that we are afflicted by the Williland's myth. We also have another group insisting that we're suffering from the Stockholm slave syndrome, the Stockholm syndrome, excuse me. But once you start researching these facts, you'll find that these are all wrong. They're all wrong. Our people are drowning in disinformation. Our core problem is that the ignorant ones are ignorant of their own ignorance, and the intelligent ones no longer cares about liberation. They no longer cares about our plight and condition. Their minds have instead been socialized to yearn no longer for liberation, but to instead yearn merely for a comfortable position within the system of white supremacy. Because of these mindsets, we are now a generation of people that are stagnant in terms of our liberation. To stop this stagnation among us, those of us who know the truth must teach. The truth is that Black people's plight has nothing to do with a Bible that was written, in fact written, by our historically proven worst and most ungodliest enemies. The Bible was brutally introduced to Africans through enslavement, torture, rape, and murder. These are not the ways that the true anointing words of God would be introduced to a people. We literally now get our morals from a book written by those that have demonstrated no morals whatsoever in their treatments of us. Those that have killed and stolen the most imposed a book upon us that says, thou shalt not kill nor steal. These hypocrisies are staggering. These combined facts, combined with the fact that the Bible strongly condones slavery, also totally disqualifies it from containing the true words of God. And to those of you who choose to ignore these facts and instead insist that the Bible is true and that the Deuteronomy chapter 28 is talking about us? Well, if that's true, explain away this fact. Within that scripture, it said that those people will be released from bondage upon reaching 400 years. That we've been in the U.S. for more than 400 years. This profound contradiction exists because the Bible is a work of fiction. When we assign our plight onto an easily proven work of fiction, we are in fact making damn fools of ourselves. A speaker of truth has no friends. And the truth of our collective condition has nothing to do with a silly slave syndrome myth. To believe that myth, a person would have to be totally ignorant of how true brainwashing is actually achieved. That silly, feeble-minded myth presents what would in fact be the least effective and the least plausible method used for controlling generations of millions of people. It's absolutely not how true brainwashing is achieved. True brainwashing requires a system that's being constantly reapplied and reinforced upon the minds of a targeted population in order to remain effective. If not, its effectiveness would lessen with each new generation, not continuing or worsening as we've been witnessing with our own people. If Willie Lynch was real, if our people were suffering from Willie Lynch, its effectiveness would have lessened, would have been long gone by now. The fact that our people's mental enslavement continues is proof that it's a system that's not Willie Lynch. It's a system that's being constantly reapplied. We are also not suffering from the Stockholm Syndrome. The Stockholm Syndrome is a natural occurrence that sometimes happens between the captor and the captive. This is when the captive adopts the mindset and ideology of the captors and then develops an undeserving sense of loyalty and allegiance towards their captors. On the surface, our condition looks like that condition. However, that condition is a natural occurrence that sometimes happens. Our condition is a deliberately designed one, and it's designed to systematically happen. Therefore, it's not the natural occurrence called a Stockholm Syndrome. The truth of our planting condition has always been directly connected to our oppressor's monopoly over information that are repetitively and systematically being fed into our minds. It provides them with their greatest weapon against us because it allows them to socialize us. The absolute truth of our plight and condition is that black people have been socialized to think and behave in ways that serves and protects the system of white supremacy. Socialized is when the oppressors exploits their monopoly over information that are systematically repetitively fed into the collective minds of the oppressed to manipulate the oppressed to think and behave in ways that are against their own interests and that instead serve the interests of their oppressors. To our own detriment, this is precisely what white oppressive forces have done to the black population. It's no strange occurrence that so many black people now perceive ourselves as being our own worst enemies and revere our oppressors in spite of such a brutally horrific history of the contrary. This described noted mindset among black people is far too widespread to be coincidental. It's by deliberate design. It's always by deliberate design whenever the oppressed starts thinking exactly as the oppressors wants them to think. It's always because they've been socialized to do so. Black people have been socialized to think and behave as millions now do. Millions of black people are now thinking and responding and behaving the way they were programmed to think, behave, and respond. They don't even know that their thoughts, behaviors, and responses are a result of their programming, and they fight fiercely against anyone who tries to free their minds from the programming. This is not some silly conspiracy theory. It's the truth, and it's actually a very common hidden practice. Throughout history, those empires that were brutally oppressive, fearing eventual retribution from those they brutalized, have always socialized the minds of the oppressed to think in ways that prevent such acts of massive retribution. It's how they always protect themselves from massive unified retribution from the oppressed. To our own detriment, this is precisely what white oppressive forces have done to the black population. to the white society's monopoly over the input of information and media images that are repetitively fed into the collective minds of black people. They've sublimely shifted black collective aggressions away from the white society and redirected against our own people. This is all possible because regardless of how intelligent people are, it is possible to control the information and media images that they repetitively receive. It's entirely possible to control what those people will believe. The white society has exploited its monopoly over the content that black people receive to control what black people think, more particularly to manipulate us to think in ways that serve and protect the system of white supremacy. People that have been socialized rarely, if ever, learn of this fact. This is why millions of black people don't know this. But it's the absolute truth. Black people have been socialized. Nowadays, they begin the socializing process during our early education development, when our minds are young and most impressionable. Through school curriculums that withholds over 90% of black racially affirming facts from our curriculum, we are instead educated from curriculums that only exalts Caucasian. This sublimely socializes our minds to perceive ourselves from a false inherent subordinate identity that makes us more compliant with white dominance in our lives, over our lives. During our education and development, we are being brainwashed to feel lesser about ourselves and more highly about white people. And the process begins from pre-K all the way to 12th grade. This is what's being done when we keep seeing this whitewashed propaganda education that constantly exalts whites. It's by design why they only teach us that we started from slavery, rather than teaching us that we were building kingdoms when white people were living in caves. Because we are being socialized to think lesser of ourselves, to feel as though we're subordinates. Now, when you program in people's minds from pre-K to the 12th grade, from the age of 5 to 18, that's a long time. Then after we graduate from school, we're constantly being socialized to think in ways that benefit the white society through media propaganda campaigns. You know, we're always sitting there watching everything about us are negative. Everything's about us are negative. We are being programmed to think less of ourselves and more of white people. Like, you know those health study results? They're always, everything about white people are better. Their health, the statistics, their IQs, everything. That's bullshit. Total bullshit. But what it does, through repetition, it demoralizes us. And it instills the feeling that we are inferior and they are superior, which socializes the thinking in ways that benefits the white society. Also, during the 1960s, white social scientists determined that an aggravating core factor for the 1960s unprecedented unified black protest was an elevated and unifying black collective self-esteem brought on by the emergence of the Black Pride movement. It was determined then that they could subdue black protests by keeping our collective self-esteems low, keeping us believe less about ourselves. People are easily controlled when they're kept demoralized. You know, when we're watching TV, we keep seeing these everything about us are negative. What happens? We say, damn, why we can't get our act together? Why we can't get our shit together? Then we go around white people trying to show them we're not all like other white people. Oh, I'm different than them. We're trying to sit up straighter. We're being programmed. We are being socialized. We've been socialized in our education development. We've been socialized through the news media. And we're even being socialized through movies and TV shows when we think we're just being entertained. For example, the reason why so many black people like reveal white people, because we're constantly being bombarded with those movies and TV shows where they're depicted as heroes and saviors, righting all wrongs, saving the world. So we're perceiving them based upon those media depiction rather than the true reality of the people they truly are. Through their monopoly over the narratives and media images that are fed into our minds, they've given their racial group a favorable, inaccurate image makeover within the minds of millions of black people. And it benefits them all over. When they travel to Africa, the black people are happy to see them. You go to Africa, and you're a fellow African-American, and you see the Africans showing more love to the white man all around the world. That propaganda campaign, he's exalting himself. We are being socialized, constantly being socialized. It's even why when you see a handsome black man who would never date an unattractive black woman, but he would date an unattractive white woman because she's white. We're constantly being fed white exalting propaganda and black marginalizing propaganda. It instills, it makes us more compliant with white dominance over our lives. As long as we think it's a Willie Lynch or the Stockholm Syndrome, those things leaves us stagnant. We do nothing. But once we understand how it's really being done, the awareness, we are now to start protecting our minds. Black people, it's time to wake up to our reality. The time of believing in dumb shit is over. One love and peace.
I say.
Wow, that's how I sound.
That's you, dear brother.
Okay, right. Hey, I would like to say, that video, that said everything, but I want to say this. The reason why millions of people believe that they confirm their perception is because of an inherent flaw that exists within the human psyche. That inherent flaw within the human psyche has been used to mentally enslave us. All press have thoroughly studied how the mind works. Now, let me explain this inherent flaw. Once a false belief has been successfully embedded into the human mind, people will then only notice those incidents that appear to confirm the embedded belief, and they will become psychologically blinded from noticing the greater amount of evidence refuting it. And then based upon this psychological blindness, they will swear that they've seen it with their own eyes that the false belief is true. I'll give you an example. The narrative that black people are like crab in a bucket always pulling each other down, and we have so many idiots repeat that. And it's, I've seen it with my own eyes. Now, the reality is, it's not humanly possible to anyone to accurately assess the collective set of millions of people based upon their own experience. It's not humanly possible. But here's the evidence that is untrue, that many people have been psychologically blinded from seeing it. During Obama's presidency, he received over 98% of the black vote in 2008 and over 92% in the second term. Black people stood in line for sometimes 5 hours to vote for him. The day he won the election, black people cried in the streets. But black people still say, you know, we never support each other. You know, we never support each other. And they will tell you, I've seen it with my own eyes, that we never support each other. And they'll use some story of someone on their job who did it wrong. We are not functioning based upon reality. We are functioning based upon the false narratives that have been embedded into our minds by the white society through their monopoly over information that we receive. And they exploit that power to keep us thinking and believing in ways that are against our own interests. The only way we will liberate ourselves is to develop a clear understanding of what's happening to us. Once we understand it, awareness produces action. It's an inherent response within the human body, with the human psyche. If you know of a danger, you remove yourself from the danger. It's a natural occurrence. So the oppressors don't want us to know the danger. But once you know it, once you know what schools are doing to your children, what do? You sit them down and you talk to them, you teach them. You realize that they're not being educated, but they're being indoctrinated. What you start finding true black history. You let the child know what the school is doing to him, how he's being designed to think. And once the child knows it, the awareness protects his mind. Once the child knows what the media propaganda is doing to him, the awareness changes, the response, its power loses its effect. This is why knowledge is power. But we must provide to our people true knowledge, because our oppressors know that knowledge is power, so they circumvent it by feeding false knowledge into our mind. And a mind that has been inflicted with false knowledge is worse than a mind that's ignorant by itself, because an ignorant mind will continue to search for the knowledge that frees it. But an ignorant mind that has been fed false knowledge, believing that the false knowledge is true, stops looking for the truth and therefore becomes mentally enslaved by the false knowledge. And many of our people are drowning in false knowledge, and it's by design. And here's the kicker. Many of our people have been conditioned to exclude the white society from all of our analysis regarding our plight and condition. We blame ourselves on everything, and it's all by design. Whenever the oppressor are thinking exactly as the oppressor wants to, it's by design. But it's not Willie Lynch. If we think it's Willie Lynch, we do nothing. I'll give you an analogy of how the Willie Lynch affects black people. Imagine that there's a man in the park, and he's standing in his park, and someone's throwing rocks at him in the back. He turns around, and he sees a man sitting on a bench with a bucket full of rocks within throwing distance from him, but he does nothing because he's conditioned to believe that there's a boogeyman, the bush who's throwing the rock. So since he believes it's a boogeyman, he does nothing. This is what the white man has done. The white man controls the education we're taught, the media we see, and we think we're controlled by Willie Lynch. We are literally blindwashed. He has all this monopoly over our information, and we say, no, we're being controlled by Willie Lynch. And most of us can't tell how dumb that statement is. Because we normalize it's called thinking without thinking. Millions of our people are thinking without thinking. Our enemies have thoroughly studied the mind. And they've used that gained knowledge to mentally enslave millions of us. They embed their beliefs into our minds. So we must understand there's a war in our minds. The fact is that most of us don't know, like you say, they brainwash us to believe in inclusion. But the reality is, although the white society claims equality, they are unrelentingly committed to the preservation of their nation's white dominance over the black population. And this is held by both Republicans and Democrats. And there's also an immense fear of massive black retribution, given the white society's long history of oppressing black people. This immense commitment to maintaining their dominance and this fear of black retribution resulted in the white society exploiting their monopoly over information to shape our minds in ways that benefit themselves. In fact, if the white society did not do this to black people, they would be against their own interests. We must recognize our reality and stop believing in idiotic things. There's a war being waged against our minds. We are being filled with propaganda all the time. Like, for example, many of our people don't understand what's happening. The social science, like, for example, do you know when they tell us that the Egyptians were white and the Egyptians were Arabs? There's a social science behind that. You see, in order for people to have an inspiring future, they have to have an inspiring past because people reference themselves based upon their past achievements. It is an inspiring past is necessary to predestine a inspiring future. So the white society removed their racial group from the caves of Europe and placed them on the thrones of Africa's Egypt and then told us that we come from nothing. They made their nothingness us and our greatness them. But all scientific fact proves that Africa is ancient Egyptian. But see, they don't care about the facts. They say perception is greater than reality. If you study the facts, you learn that all facts, you fact the carbon dating proving that the pyramids were built by Africans thousands of years before Europeans and Arabs arrived there. DNA analysis performing the mummies confirm they're Africans. But what they do is they just keep gaslighting us, because they create narratives. And we function based upon narrative. Yeah.
Let me further take that conversation after we come back from the break, because I've been talking about that for years in terms of what the Europeans have done, and in fact even today with Dr. Awas, even though he's not the director of antiquities in Kemet anymore, but he's still running that same bullshit. You know,
I'm gonna tell you what Rockefeller did with the educational system when we come back. Okay. How it's all by design.
Okay. Let's do that. Let's take that break, man. This is beautiful. And brothers and sisters on the other side, you can join us in this conversation. There's a number of you already in the queue. Darnison, you can by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Frankie Beverly, he's eternal. Yeah, we are one. We are one family. Whether we're in Africa, the Caribbean, South America, Central America, North America, anywhere else in the diaspora, we Africans, we are one. Yeah. And as soon as we start acting like that, more so than just, well, first we got to think like that. You know, it's all about the mind. And so, because once we think like that, then we'll begin to act like that. And once we begin to act like that, it's over for everybody. We'll take our right place as a model of humanity that we once were when people came from far and wide to sit at our feet. and the continent will be a leader because it has more resources than any place else always had, even under the hundreds of years of rape, pillage, and plunder by Europeans and Arabs. Still, with Chinese involved, with Germans involved, with Arabs involved, and Koreans involved. I could go on. And us wanting to leave the continent because we've been brainwashed. So, our guest today, of course, is Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People's Matrix. Yes, sir, the Black People's Matrix. Brother Franklin, I appreciate you being here with me, man.
I appreciate you having me here. I'm going to demonstrate something on this radio right here now. I'm going to prove that the perception of reality can be distorted by the disinformation that are fed into a society. But I'm going to point out a reality that your viewers, most of your viewers don't know. A reality that most of your viewers are psychologically blinded from seeing. Psychologically blinded from seeing because of the information they've been fed. Here's a reality that most don't know. Do you know that within every major city on this planet, they would look totally different had it not been for Black people? It's why? Because Black people invented the elevator, the fire escape ladder, the fire extinguisher, the air conditioner, the heater, which are all essential in order for people to live and work in skyscrapers. So every city on this planet, every major city would look different had it not been for Black people. There would be no skyscrapers. Now, you see, that's a reality that most people don't know. You know why? Because people have been fed disinformation. The information that we receive shapes our perception of reality. And the white society feeds us information that keeps our perception of reality in ways that serve and protect the system of white supremacy. Once you understand the social science of how information controls the mind, how information shapes our reality, then you'll learn how to break free from the matrix. Our perception of reality is an elaborate white deception. And as long as we're sitting around dealing with the Bible or Willie Lynch and rather elevating our mind to understand the social science, we will never liberate ourselves. The way we are currently trying to liberate ourselves is like a child going into a real war carrying a toy gun. You'll be slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
Our people must learn that there are social sciences. No, it's not magic. It feels like magic, but your mind gives it its power. There are those who have thoroughly study this science of the mind of information. Information creates our reality. And those who control this information controls our perception of reality. When you have gods at your beneath your feet, you have to convince those gods that they are the serpents. Mm-hmm. There's no way to maintain dominance over gods if they know they're gods. You maintain dominance over them by keeping them thinking they're at the bottom of your feet.
And that's what
overcoming
they...
Overcoming a superior force with a psychological remedy.
And that's what they have done. And that's what they have
done.
Let me say this. That's what they have done. And if you look at, you know, looking at the history, when we're the first people on the planet, creating the first civilizations, the civilization of Kemet came out of the heart of Africa in the south, where what is now the Sudan. It traveled down the Nile River, which is north. I'm raising my hand up because the Nile flowed from the center of the Nile going downriver, which is north. And it reached its perfection, its zenith, its apex, its pinnacle in Kemet. And for thousands of years, it developed. In fact, the early part of the dynastic periods, the third and fourth dynasties, where pyramids were built. The pyramid of Khufu on the Giza Plateau was built in the fourth dynasty. Thousands of years. Then they started building pyramids south in the mountains after so many raids and so forth. But check it out. So the pyramids being built of such grandeur, of such magnificence, is unbelievable. It boggles the mind. In fact, to the extent that Europeans wanted to attribute it to aliens, there's some online, there's some animation showing some physical giants, some real big men who are taking those blocks. Because you got to understand, some of those blocks.
You know, once you,
go ahead. What'd you say?
You know, once you study social science, everything then makes sense. There's a reason why they don't want to betray that as our history. Because in social science, in order for a dominant population to maintain its position of dominance over the oppressed population, the history must endorse their position of dominance. But the white society's history does not endorse theirs, because if it became taught that while we were building pyramids, they were living in caves, this undermines their position of social dominance. So therefore, they don't teach that.
Right. And so
they teach a version of history that endorses their position. It conveys the myth that whites are inherently superior to blacks and therefore supposed to rule over us. You honestly, think about it. You can't maintain dominance over people while teaching those people that it was them that introduced the daily bath to the dominant group.
Mm-hmm.
That was who taught the dominant group to read, to write.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the history has been whitewashed to give the white society a platform that endorses their position of social dominance. Everything is a social science.
So
that's being deployed to the white side monopoly over information.
So in the development of the history that me and my good brother Franklin Jones are talking about, in the initial part of the history of Kemet, you know, we built those pyramids, and in fact, once again, as I always have and always will promote, the documentary Great Pyramid K 2019, because it explains who built the pyramids, us, African people, melanated people, and how they were built. They were not built. We didn't go downriver into some mountains and begin to cut stone and shape it and then drag it to the Nile edge and put it on a barge and then sail it downriver and then drag it from there and then place it, you know, stack them on top of another. No, it was done because they had enough limestone and other mixtures. And when the Nile floods every year, the Nile inundates. And when the Nile flooded, that's when they went to pyramid building and temple building and so forth, because they mix it. It was poured, family. It was poured. They poured that into molds, and they did it perfectly. Also, they developed a solar lens whereby they could melt granite. Yes, family, they could melt granite, because you see it. You see it right now. You see the chevrons in the opening of the pyramid after the stone had been broke away. You see it. In the king's chamber, the upper chamber, which has been exposed, you see it. The walls of the pyramids, the sarcophagus or his tomb for Khufu, the pharaoh Khufu, you see it. How could that happen? The tools that we had at that time were totally incapable of carving any. They were copper. They were copper tools, but they could do it if it is poured. And once before it sets it and hardens, you could shape and fashion. You could draw Medunetra, what the Greeks call hieroglyphs. You could do a number of things. And then, I'm telling you, this is historical facts. But the problem is that the European does not want to give us our due. So Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop and Dr. Thelophilo Binga, who was a linguist, they had a symposium in Cairo, Egypt in 1974, and he kicked ass. They were the only Africans at the symposium. Everybody else was either Caucasian or Arab, so forth, and they kicked their ass to the point that they wrote the book on ancient Kemet in two volumes based upon the presentations and the information that he had provided. He had the smoking gun, family. He had the melanin dosage test. He just couldn't say it. He could prove it. He could prove it. The melanin dosage test. The eyewitness account.
Can I say something real quickly?
Sure, go ahead.
I'd like to say something. since you just mentioned the melanidosis test, I have to say something. In a 2012, and from 2012 to 2013, a company called DNA Tribes, an American company, performed DNA analysis on mummies, Egyptian mummies, many. And their DNA analysis scientifically proven that they were, in fact, Africans. So it's been proven. But you see, that information is not being spread. That information not being spread because it goes against the white society's narrative. They've stolen the history of Africa, and they claim it as theirs to give themselves a platform that exalts themselves.
Because.
But it's been scientifically proven that they were Africans.
Because.
Their DNA matches current-day sub-Saharan Africans. It's been scientifically proven.
Because the Caucasian suffers from cognitive dissonance. He believes that he is superior. And any information that challenges that, he cannot accept it. He will not deal with it. He disregards it. He ignores it because it does not fit what you just stated. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
The ruling elites who have access to true information, they know they're inferior. It is the masses, whites, who are themselves the victims of the propaganda that the ruling elite feeds to them. There's a segment that feeds disinformation to exalt their group, to inspire their group. The collective self-esteem of the white masses has been falsely bolstered at the expense of the collective self-esteem of the black masses. But there are a selected group on top who knows the true, our true narrative, those who have access to it. But they have socially engineered their population to believe that they're superior. That's why it goes back to perception is more greater than reality. So many black, white people have been brainwashed to believe they're superior. But the ruling elite knows what they've done. Like I will tell you about Rockefeller, when he took over the education system, he hired his propagandists to whitewash history, to place Caucasians at the top and the center of all historical events. Doing so creates a setting that aids in maintaining their dominance.
Right.
It does the same thing with creating a white god did. You're creating the image of white god, it went around the world spreading it. And once the image of the white god was accepted, it instills within the minds of the masses that whites are inherently closer to God and therefore superior to everyone else.
So here
they're
it is.
Propaganda.
Right. So here it is that after what we did, the formation, all the things that we did, Greece emerges. It was the first emergence of Europeans was the Greeks. The Greeks had no knowledge, really. They came into Kemet. They heard about the beauty and the splendor of Kemet. Can you imagine the people coming to a land where you see those pyramids? And understand something, family. The pyramids had a white limestone covering. They did not look like they look today. The earthquake and Arabs began to take the limestone covering off of the pyramids. They used them to build mosques and so forth. But when they came into Kemet, they were just like, I mean, real bling. The sun would come off of them and it'd just be bam. And so they studied at our feet for hundreds of years. The Greeks did. The Greeks. First, it was Socrates. And Socrates goes back to help educate and train the people of Greece, and particularly the youth of Greece. And the Greek rulers said, what are you bringing these foreign information in here and so forth and so on? Made him drink poison, made him drink hemlock. Plato saw what was happening. He goes back into Kemet and studies there for 20 years. And he comes back to be the great philosopher and of all this knowledge, and Pythagoras and Thales and so. This all ripped off. They're a bunch of liars, a bunch of pledgers. And they begin to put their names on it. Alexander the so-called great. They begin to put their names on it. And then what happens to Greece? It falls. The Romans come in. It falls. Both of them had conquered Kemet and put their face on it. And many of the temples were whitewashed. And so they put their name on it, but then they fall. And then Europe comes into a medieval or dark age. And what happens? Islam spreads across North Africa. And the Africans that began to embrace it, those Africans, now called the Moors, they go into the western part of Asia. Because you understand this, once again, Europe is not a continent. I repeat, Europe is not a continent. It is the western part of Asia, what they call Europe, not a continent. And so they go into Iberian Peninsula, into what is now Spain and Portugal. And there they educate for almost 700 years, 711 to 1492. They educate the Europeans, made them, help them understand the importance of taking baths with hot water. They developed the water system of aqueducts. They had lights. I mean, what the Moors brought in was phenomenal. And then what happens? Charlemagne and Martel and many other leaders finally said, listen, we're going to go ahead and kick these folks up out of here. And then this is our renaissance, our awakening. And they did. They kicked the Sephardic Jews out of Spain, and they kicked the Moors out of Spain. And then what did they do? They went around the world. Marco Polo goes to China. He brings back pasta. And many people think that pasta is Italian. But pasta is Chinese. Rice. Many people think that rice is Chinese, but no, rice is African. But what does Marco Polo bring back even more significant was fireworks, because Chinese used them for celebration. Europeans began to fashion weaponry. So they developed superior weaponry. They got the map-making capabilities from Africans. So everything...
May I say something?
Sure, go ahead.
What you're saying is knowledge, profound knowledge. But there's a way to get people... But we've been saying it, but why isn't it our people haven't gravitated to it? Why isn't that information hasn't moved our people? It's because we have to hijack our people's minds. There's a thing in the military. There's a thing in the military called information and understanding leads to motivation. Now, in addition to teaching our people their true history, we have to teach our people why it's being hid from them, why it's been stolen, and the effect that it has on our people, how it's being used against us. Once our people recognize how the distortions serve the system of white supremacy and it works against us, that creates a motivation to want to learn it. This expands it. There's a difference between liberating knowledge and knowledge. The difference between liberating knowledge is that knowledge, you hear it, okay, and you stay stagnant. But liberating knowledge is one that expands your understanding of your plight, and this understanding stimulates critical thinking. And it forces you to seek out remedies. And here's the thing: a mind once expanded to a greater radius from learning liberating truth never returns to its original dimension.
It's in this way
that a deliberating knowledge acts like a virus within the system of white supremacy that sits upon a throne of lies. We have to teach our people not just the true history, but teach them how the distortion has been weaponized against them.
Right.
Once the people realize, oh, this is what's being doing to us, this is how it's benefiting them. Once we are aware of a threat, it's a inherent response within the human psyche. So we must teach our people the threat that comes from this distortion. And once we understand how the threat is affecting us, it makes us want to hold on to our true history. It makes us want to defend what is true. But if our people doesn't understand, okay, that's history, okay, that's the past, but they don't understand that their distortion is designed to serve the system of white supremacy. Because there's a science also called those who control the past control the future, because people function based upon what they're made to believe about themselves, rather than what's actually true. And the history we've been taught has been distorted to ensure that white supremacy maintains their dominance in the future. These are social sciences. Our people must recognize how information has been is a warfare against us. Most of our people have never heard the term information warfare. Information warfare is how the white society brainwashed millions of black people to love our oppression. They make us believe that we're our worst enemies by their propaganda campaigns. They make us believe that slavery benefits by denigrating the image of Africa. Their monopoly over information is what makes us think as we do.
That's right.
They make us think that black men are worse than white men because of their propaganda campaign. Everything that we think that's against our interest is directly connected to the white society. But Western realm don't realize, because we've normalized it. We have been brainwashed from birth, from the time we were born and going to school, by white ideology. And then we've normalized it.
And see, let me say this, because in these schools that we go to, they're dominated by the European ideology, the European 100%. Philosophy. Okay, 100%. That's why it's important that you have African-centered schools outside of that. It's just like, you know, it's just like the European Jews. The European Jews will send their children to a public school, but they tell that public school that I'm not coming on this day because that's Rosh Hashanah. I'm not coming this day because that's Yom Kippur. I'm not coming this day because that's whatever. But hold on. The responsibility for educating that European Jew child is the European Jews, not the school system. Yes, I want you to teach them math. I want you to teach them science. I want you to teach them this, that, and the other. But to understand who they are, their culture, their history, and so forth, that is our responsibility. But unfortunately, we have left the total responsibility of our education to these Caucasians, to the public school system, to the private school system, and so forth.
We were socially engineered to think as we do.
Right.
Because the reason why black people don't care about it, because black people have been made to believe that we had no history.
Right.
That we was running around the bushes. We have no history. There's nothing of relevance back there. Mm-hmm. So we've been conditioned to believe that everything starts with slavery. So because they condition us to think that, we don't push the need to go and learn about Africa. There are literally black people listening right now who think that if they go back into our past, there's nothing. There's nothing. Because they buy into the propaganda. The way you turn people away from the culture is to make them believe they have no culture. The way you make people don't yearn to learn the truth, make them ashamed of their past, make them ashamed of their history. There's a system where you use the immense power that shame has upon the human mind to mentally enslave a people. Many mm-hmm. black people run away, for example. Many black people say, I know African. How was that achieved? By making African-Americans ashamed of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Once you make a people ashamed of something, you can separate them from it. Yeah. They make us ashamed of our history. They make us ashamed of Africa. That's why we don't yearn for it. We don't tell our kids to learn African history. We don't even care. All we want our kids to do is learn white history. And we've been socially engineered to think that way. And why parents don't do it? Because the parents were socially engineered to do it.
Right. Because the whole thing is, and in the public school systems, you are trained to, after graduation from this process, to get a job. You're not trained to do any. See, that's the whole thing. So let me do this, family. Give us a call at 215-490-9832 so you can talk with Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People's Matrix. 215-490-9832. We have a caller. Good afternoon, caller, Brother Irv. What's happening?
Brother Oshie, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well.
Hey, hello to your guest, the Black Brother. You are so on point, and I know you've heard this before. And every time I call, I give you praise. But I want to say something about something you said. You said we're told by our parents who were told by their parents who were told by their parents. So, and that made me think of Gaza. These people are being exterminated, or they're trying to genocide these people, and they've tried to do that to American Africans. We're still here, but what it showed me was these Jews are killing off a whole generation of people who are in childbearing years, so that they don't have to worry about that generation. And that was tried to be done to black people. Am I correct? They tried to take, but when they realized they couldn't kill us all, then they said, we don't need to kill them physically. We'll take their mind and the socializing so that they'll call themselves the N-word. So they'll think that when you say, do you have a homeland? I asked a brother this years ago. Do you have a homeland? Because you're right when you say once you learn this. Dick Gregory said it a different way. He said, once you put on those glasses, you can't take them off.
No,
once you get clarity, Go ahead.
Are you right? Yeah.
And so what they're doing in Gaza is they kill off a whole generation. But the Caucasians said, we can take the American African's mind. Then we don't have to put him in a cage. He'll put himself in a cage. He will call himself the N-word. He'll beat his woman. Because you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about him. Because, you know, and we can call Nancy, Mayor Adams. We can call out all the people who have sold their souls to the devil. And that way, you don't have to raise a gun. The American African that doesn't know he's African will shoot himself in the head. He will, if there's no door, like the brother said, we'll make a door. Don't worry about it, Master. I'm getting this. You teaching me, and I got
I'm feeling you, brother. I'm feeling you through the phone. Brother, you are so right. I'm sorry. I always feel that spirit when I hear brother speaking truth. My spirit rises,
brother. And each one teach one, brother. You energize me. I energize you. Then we go forth and energize some other people. This didn't start in a day. It's not going to end in a day. But we can do better than what we're doing. We got the information highway. By motion, I'm going to stop after this. The reason white folks change names of things and change your language, got you speaking English, you're not even from England, and you put – so they did that for a reason, because all that was psychological. They knew that an ass-whipping only lasts a few minutes. But a psychological ass-whipping lasts for generations. And I'm going to stop right there. Thank you, my brother.
Brother, you are 100%.
Brother Irv, thank you, my brother.
Hey, Brother Oshie, let me say something, please. Let me say something. Because his brother said something, I wasn't going in this direction, but he said it and brought his spirit out. He's absolutely right. If you look at our condition versus the 1960s, you will realize that the African-American culture has changed for the worse since 1968.
Oh, yes.
And this is all by design. The current commission hired social engineering scientists to thoroughly study the African-American culture. And they determined that the African-American culture had to be fundamentally changed from what it was in order for the system of white supremacy to thrive. And they fundamentally changed the African-American culture by deploying an ideological subversion system against us. The reason why they have us calling us up at the N-word, it disconnects us from our African heritage. Once we are divided from our African heritage, we become weaker as a people. We become more fragmented, and we can become anything they want us to be. Everything that brother was saying is true. They fundamentally changed us. They studied us. For example, here's what they learned. They learned that African Americans during 1960 have developed an allegiance to Africa. And this allegiance to Africa impeded African Americans' patriotism toward the United States. And this allegiance to Africa was also fueled the Black Power movement. So they realized that they had to erode African Americans' allegiance to Africa. And they did so by doing propaganda campaigns that constantly subject African Americans to only seeing the poorest parts of Africa. Also, they started miseducating African Americans to believe that most enslaved were fairly purchased. And then in our books, they kept playing these paintings of a black man holding a black man enslaved. And they put all their propaganda, spread it around. So we kept hearing that most of the slaves were sold away. Most of all, so this eroded our allegiance from Africa and made to what it is today. We've been socially engineered to call ourselves by the N-word. We've been socially engineered to hate Africa, to be ashamed of African heritage. They fundamentally changed our culture. And here's the things they learned in 1960. They learned in 1968 that the aggravating core factor was a unifying black collective self-esteem brought on by the emergence of the Black Pride movement. So they realized that they could subdue black protests by keeping our collective self-esteem low. Therefore, they constantly inundated with fraudulent propaganda to keep our self-esteem low. They also learned something else in 1968. They learned that whenever people are oppressed for long durations, their collective aggressions toward their oppressors will continue to grow until acts of retribution becomes inevitable. The oppressors always eventually rebel. Always. It's the inherent response. So they realized that they could prevent this from happening by shifting black collective aggressions away from the white society and redirecting it against ourselves. That's what it inundated through the propaganda campaign for black or black crime, black or black crime. We are thinking in ways and behaving in ways that we were socially engineered to do. And this particular program began in 1968. It's how they prevent unified massive black retribution. Remember that the government said that the greatest threat against the nation was the unification of the American Negro. We are under the system that they created in response to that threat. This is where we are today. And they have our minds believing so much dumb stuff, there's no one unifying behind it. And since we no longer have any leaders anymore, nothing's being done about it.
Well, see, one of the things that they feared with the retribution was the physical challenge. But many of us all maintain that we don't want to fight your ass. We just want you to leave us alone and let us do our thing. Let us prosper. Let us begin to educate ourselves. Let us control the things in our neighborhood. And but of course that wasn't going to happen.
Alone from their position. You know what? They can't leave us alone from their position. Here's why they can't leave us alone. To leave us alone would be against their interests. Here's why. To leave Africa alone, the West needs Africa's natural resource to survive. The West cannot survive 2 years without the incoming resource from Africa. Even our laptops, our smartphones have minerals in it that's used from Africa, called coltan. They need it, so therefore they have to keep their foot on the neck of Africa.
And see,
they need our intellect. They need to continue exploiting our genius for the inventions that it made. So therefore, to release us against their interests.
And see, that's the thing that we must understand. I was going to say fuck him, but I'm on radio. Oh, I did. Because the bottom line is that that's how he is. I've often mentioned to our listeners here about going on YouTube and listening to this Caucasian named Howard Nichols as he talks about to some group of Caucasians, I'm more than likely, why Africa must remain poor, why Africa must never be able to manufacture anything, produce anything.
It's against the West interest
exactly.
To be on our feet.
Exactly. And so the bottom
line
is...
That's why they have economic hitmen.
Yes.
Economic hitmen.
Whenever a
African leader rise up and start to implement something that's against the interests of the West, they'll have him killed.
Yep.
I mean, we know that with Gaddafi. You'll find out this is... They say they do it under the U.S. interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something that Dr. King said, and it all ties into our situation. He said, Dr. King said that we know from painful experiences that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressors. It must be demanded. Therefore, through the white oppressors' monopoly over information that we receive, they've socially engineered us to no longer demand freedom. That's the situation we're in. And to instead perceive ourselves as our worst enemies, mm-hmm. and to merely seek a comfortable position within the system of white supremacy. Our minds have been socially engineered to think in ways that serve the white society.
And see what happens is that our leadership thereof, you know,
no leadership.
Or the misleadership, right, especially on the continent. You have the Sahel, those brothers in Burkina Faso, in Mali, in Niger are doing what they're doing what must be done. And I pray for those brothers for their protection. And I hope that those brothers have those around them. And it seems like they are. And Ghana is probably going to join that. And Senegal hopefully will be beginning to join that. And
here's how the West normally responds to that. Normally when let's say in your country there's another group, another faction that's against the government. And when the government is doing something that the West hates, the West will go to that country and start financing that other group. Give them weapons, arms, and try to let that other group overthrow the one that's in power. That's how they normally do it. Yeah.
And see, and I'm saying how they normally have done it is over. That shit is over. That's over. Mm-hmm. Because to me, everybody should be challenged. Are you with this? If you're not, get your ass out or we will kill you. And that's what has mm-hmm. to happen. That's what happened. There can be no coup d'etats that are happening to brothers and sisters who are doing the right thing for the people and for the country. There cannot. It must not
happened. They must be exposed. The European must be exposed for the evil that he has done and continues to do. Those puppets, those neo-colonialists must be exposed. I just seen a piece on Kagame of Rwanda. Now, I have to admit, Rwanda is beautiful. Rwanda is probably the most clean city and country on the continent. But to what extent? And to what extent is Kagame doing in the Democratic Republic of the Congo? These things need to be dealt with. And if he is, then his ass needs to be on the chopping block too. The bottom line is we need a unification of Africa. That is the bottom line. Unity. When we talk about what is most important for African people, that's the first thing, is a functional practice of unity, not necessarily uniformity. You know, you can still have your thing, but you understand that you are African. In fact, what's most important is not that you are Nigerian or Ghanaian, but that you are African. And you're willing to do whatever it takes to control the land, to control the resources, to can help develop the people with their health and nutrition and so forth. That's the bottom line. The future, Africans' future is still very promising. But it only happens when Africans take that into their own hands. When Africans kick to the curb the mindset that have crippled us, the envy, the all the things that you always mention, brother Franklin, that it, once we overcome this, we're on our way, brother.
Yes, and the way to overcome it is to make our people aware of it.
Right.
And an analogy I use is, imagine you're on a huge ship, and the ship is going in the wrong direction, okay? Before you can get the people to start turning that ship in another direction, you have to go to their mind. You have to show them that they're going in the wrong direction. You present maps to them. Show them why it's the wrong direction. Show them how we got our ports. So you have to keep presenting the information. And then once more of our people understand the information, then we start turning the ship around.
I see.
You know, a recent event that demonstrates how damaged our people's minds are, how we've been damaged by the ideological subversion system, how we've been damaged by not having true black leaders anymore. It's more recently demonstrated with the Kendrick Lamar performance. In the face of everything mm-hmm. that the white government's doing in America, how they rolled back all the rights, all the gains made by black people during the 1960s, mm-hmm. Our people are online jumping and rejoicing over a black man performing on stage, singing, and we call that liberation. Ooh, our reference of what liberation is has totally changed. We say, oh, that's liberating. Oh, imagine if Malcolm X was standing there watching that performance. Malcolm X said, no, allow me to speak out there. Our people's mental reference of what is liberating knowledge has been diminished, and this is all by design. They stripped away our leaders. And also, after assassinating our leaders, they knew that our people will perceive celebrities as being our informal leaders. And they've used celebrities to negatively steer our culture. In fact, black liberation has been so removed from the psyche of our people that now if you mention the term black liberation, many black people say, I don't hear that black liberation shit. We are worse enemies. That's a programmed response. Black people are walking around behaving and thinking and talking the way they were programmed to think and talk and respond, and they fight against anyone who tries to show them their programming.
And
nonetheless, those who know must teach.
Yeah. And so, you know, the one of the main tools, particularly now, that the European, because he knows he just can't massively kill us, and believe me, he would love to do that, because, you know, globally we are a mass. But what he does, working on our psyche and our psychology, is that he turns us against one another. It's divide and conquer.
But you know what the white man didn't do
still today.
He would be a fool. You know that?
Yeah.
Now hear what I'm saying to you. Mm-hmm. You watch this. This is going to sound crazy. But the white man didn't do what he's doing to us, he would be a fool. He's doing what is within our best interest. It's in his best interest. We must learn the truth and do what's in our best interest.
He's doing what he's doing because he has to maintain his dominance over us. He's continuing exploiting us. So he's doing what's in his interest. But he's able to do so without any resistance because he's manipulated the minds of our people to not respond with resistance.
Let me get back to what that historical piece I was referencing. Because what happened once Europe came out of those dark age, medieval age, and going around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of, he had intercourse with the indigenous people that he encountered. And what he saw was the offspring did not look like them, causing an innate fear in them of genetic annihilation. So then it became something for them to say, listen, whoever's going to control the world, we may war amongst ourselves, and believe me, they do, because Caucasians are very warlike people. Their whole thing is about death, domination, and destruction. And so, but who is going to run the world is going to be us. We're going to come together on those who are outside of us. And so they began to go around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of. In the name of. And then to the point where they subjugate those people, degrade them, put a false religion in front of their face. All of these debilitating, mentally debilitating, and physically debilitating things, bringing disease to these people. You know, I mean, there's the only acts of real genocide have been perpetrated by Caucasians, been perpetrated by Europeans, the Akwa Indians, what is now the Dominican Republic and Haiti. They were not there. All those people were brought to that island. They killed, the European killed all of those people on that island. And there are other examples in the New Zealand, you know. So I'm saying these people bring death, domination, and destruction. And now they still want to hold on to their position, even though there's been an enlightenment of what's happening. And even though they want to continue to subjugate us, degrade us, demean us, and relegate us to a subservient position, it happens no more once we come into understanding of self, of a knowledge of self.
Exactly. Once we understand the knowledge, we have to recognize, we have to look at our situation like a chess game. The white society treats us like a chess game. We have to study the enemy's moves, and then we can predict their next movement. Then we can understand what they're doing. We have to see it as a chess. If we just look at what they did, talk about what they did, we're just talking about what they did. But we have to understand that there's a motive, there's a means, and what they're doing. And once we understand it, we must make our people aware of the tactics that are being used to maintain their dominance. Now, here's the deal, that there have been great significant changes with the growth of our people. We're not really seeing it, but it's there through the internet. The reason why the ruling elite says the internet is the worst thing that happened to the world, because the white man's greatest power since invading Africa was that he controlled the information. He controlled what everyone believed. With the invention of the internet, and I know some of you are going to say, thanks to a white man, that because you've been programmed to believe that. No, thanks to black men. The reason why we're on the internet is because of a Nigerian scientist who invented a supercomputer that led to the internet. The reason why we're able to access the internet is because of African-American scientists who developed what we call .com, okay? And the microphones on our cell phones and the camera are also by black men. See, I know my true history. So you can't come and say, thanks to a white man for this BS. I don't function based on those false narratives. I know our greatness. Now, what I'm saying is, since we now are able to communicate, we are much better off now. Because now when an African on the continent hears an African-American speaking, he has not seen the caricatures, the nigger, the buffoonery that the white man shows him. He said, wait a minute, we are one people. When we see the Africans now on the internet and so on, we know we are one people. We're not seeing the stereotype savage depiction of the white man depict. He has always controlled how we see and perceive each other. But now that we have a means to communicate, we're all hearing that we are one people. And we are waking up. And as I told you, the brother who you always talk about, that brother, the white guy who died, his daughter is on the show, The Morning Joe Show. The Morning Joe Show. What's his daughter name? Dabrinsky?
I don't know.
Hello?
Yeah.
Dabrinsky. Hear what he said before he died. But I know I'm running out of time. Before he died, here's what he said. And it's very important. He said before he died, Dabrinsky said, never before in history has the white man, the ruling elite, been more afraid now than they've ever been? Because this is the first time in history since invading Africa that they're not controlling all the narrative. And he's the guy who was up with all the white leaders, the rulers. He's an advisor to all of them. Mm-hmm. And he says never before have they been more afraid than they are now because they no longer control the narrative.
And that's correct. So that's, that is. That, you know, because now, truly, I mean, even though we're on this program and we're harping big time of how we need to look at ourselves and look at each other and look at the continent, look at the diaspora, and then come together to control the image, the narrative, more importantly, our resources and land and our people. And it can happen. It can happen. You know,
once we address the monopoly the press have over our mind, but mm-hmm. we must address the monopoly the press has over our mind in order to accomplish those things.
And we're doing
remember,
that.
Remember the saying, we must overcome the monopoly they have over our minds.
Mm-hmm. And then we're doing it. Let me get Jay in here. Jay, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's happening? Oh, hey. Brother Franklin, how are you, sir? Long time no hear from, brother. How are you doing?
Always on a mission. Still doing it. Still
what,
growing.
And what mission is that, my brother?
You have to ask?
sometimes you know we not sure, but I would
you
hope
know,
that
you always say
a mission,
remember you always
a mission to liberate African people. I can't think of no other mission.
That's right.
But, I mean, every time, you know, you the man who always says, Frank, you always consistent. You always in that one mission. That's where I surprised you asked me that because you always say I'm always consistent.
That's right.
hey, listen. Franklin, the bottom line is we all got to be on a mission to survive what we're dealing with in this country. Hopefully we will realize that and we will deal with that on the level that we need to because it's not a situation to where things are getting better. You know what I mean? We have to be extremely clear. Things are not getting better. Hopefully it won't get no worse, but we'll see. But listen, I just wanted to shout out the great brother Franklin Jones.
That's right.
Always a pleasure, brother Jay. Always a pleasure, brother Jay. Always a pleasure to hear you.
It's beyond a pleasure to hear you, Franklin. I'm glad you doing well and you continuously doing the work that you put forward for our people. Thank you, brother.
Right on.
I thank you for calling, my brother. Appreciate you.
Thanks a lot, Jay. Yeah, he is. He puts out a lot of memes, and he's back online again. And although I know he's been in jail a few times, haven't you?
Yeah. They keep him in social media jail all the time.
Social media.
But you know what? I'm always reminded. What keeps me going? Also, Brother Paul said something to me a while back, and he don't know how much that is for hearing him say that. He said while there in the UK, he would see my memes and he would connect with it.
Right.
And then when he gave an analysis of what the memes were doing, he was so on point with it. That always, what I'm putting out the information, I'm always reminded that story he told me. Mm-hmm. Here is my brother in the UK, and my brother gets the meme and it touches him. That's what it's about.
Right.
So that keeps me moving. And Brother Paul, if you listen, I want you to know, I never forget you, and I always appreciate that story.
Right on.
You know, it motivates me.
Right on. Well, listen, brother, we're up against the clock. You know, just give us a little bit of some closing, you know, discussion or arguments or statements. And
I'll just say in closing, brothers and sisters, we have to learn that there are social sciences that are being deployed against us through the white society monopoly over information. Come on now. They control the education we're taught. They mean the images we see. They control the news report we see all day long. Quite naturally, they're going to use that monopoly of information to shape our minds in ways that thinks in ways that serve themselves. We must stop believing that our mindset was created by Willie Lynch or something else of that sort. We must recognize that within the white man's information, there's propaganda that's designed to make us think in ways that serve them. And Marcus Garvey said it. Marcus Garvey says the white man's propaganda has made him the master. And all of those steps, it becomes his slave. We must become aware of the war against our minds. Please elevate our minds above a biblical fairy tale of silly Willie Lynch and understand it deploying information warfare against us, also psychological warfare. Thank you.
Ashe, brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives. I appreciate all those who listen, all those who called in. I definitely appreciate my guest, Brother Franklin Jones of the Black People's Matrix. His book is still out, but you can see if you got YouTube or any other ways to contact Brother Franklin Jones, and I'll give you that information. Thank those who called in, you know, Brother Herb, Brother Jay, and all those who were listening. I saw many others in the queue, but you know what to do. You hit star twice and you can get in. I appreciate it. I hope to see you on Friday. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. See you on Friday, family. Peace.